The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. He would have to be, and I know he's hugely popular, but when you start, and you hate to single out guys, but frankly, when you sign big contracts, that's what happens. And you circle guys and you say, this has been a major disappointment this season. Scott Darling is one of them.
Yep, no, and he would be the first to admit it. The one thing I've always admired about Scott, he's a really hard worker, but he's really honest about himself. He's recognized his flaws as a human being. He's gone for help for those things, and he's obviously recognized that he hasn't had the start to his career in Carolina that he would have liked to have had. He's had some really good games, too, though, to be fair, but not nearly good enough in terms of a broad approach to the way he needs to play.
Do you think if they don't get any better goaltending, and Cam Ward was on a roll the last time we saw them, but his game has slipped again recently, do you think they have a shot here to get in?
Not if they don't get better goaltending, because they don't score easily enough. That's a big problem. If you look at their forwards, outside of Justin Williams, they're pretty much all the same. They're really slick. They're really quick. But they don't have a lot of jammers. They don't have a lot of guys that get to the net and jam you up to try to finish plays. You know, Jeff Skinner's a lot like Teuvo Teravainen. Elias Lindholm is a lot like Teuvo Teravainen and Jeff Skinner. You just go down their lineup and you see they just don't have that jam that you have to finish plays off at this time of the year. They're silky smooth in a lot of areas, but they need to be almost letter perfect in goal and on defense if they're going to make it.
What other area, like a lot of people looked at the group of young defensemen, right? And they said, this is a franchise that gets what today's NHL is all about. And, if they can get some, you know, average goaltending at the worst, they can make some noise. That's why a lot of people pick Carolina, as you know, right? At the beginning of the season.
I wasn't one of them.
I know.
I don't buy the hype and I don't buy spin control. I buy the reality. And the reality is they're not good enough at the forward position. They are very deep on defense. Pesci's an excellent player. Slavin is an excellent player. Hanifin has had a down year, not nearly good enough. He needs to be better. Van Riemsdyk's been solid for them. So they've got the makings of a solid defense, but I was really concerned about their forward play.
And their best scorer actually is not playing. He's recovering from a concussion. I think Sebastian Aho back on the ice. But the Canadiens won't see him tonight.
No, and again, he had a terrible start to the year. He really did. He started to heat up before he got hurt. But he did not have a good start to the year at all. And so, you know, obviously, that's problematic. They need everything going. And again, you bring his name up. Tell me how he's different from any of the forwards I brought up before, like Teravainen or Skinner or Lindholm. They're all the same. Rask, they are all the same. And that's part of the problem.
Jordan Staal's different.
He is, but he's not a pure scorer. He's more of your shutdown guy. He's not the guy that's getting 30 to 35 goals, jamming. He's not the power forward jamming things home. He's a stabilizing presence down the middle.
Maybe they should talk to Edmonton.
Maybe they have.
All right, before we got off the air, it was like in the last 10 minutes of the show, and we were talking to Jose Vidro because Vladimir Guerrero got elected to the Hall of Fame, so we didn't get to discuss this.
I respect the league decision on the matter. They're in the right to make the decisions that they do, and I'm going to live with it. Jose, I let my teammates down, I know that, and I let the organization down, so... I have to be better. There's no question.
Well, in the middle of kind of an historic run and kind of unexpected run by the Bruins, Brad Marchand gets that 5-game suspension for elbowing Marcus Johansson.
I thought it would be 3. I understand why the league and George Parros did what they did. I also like the response from Brad. That's the way you're supposed to be contrite. You're supposed to feel bad. You've let a lot of people down, including your teammates and your fans. He did it. He knows he did it. He's lost almost $900,000 in fines due to suspension or fines. That's a lot of money. So he's going to think twice about it. I don't think you'll have another incident from him. I really don't.
Save the tape.
I don't think you'll have another incident.
That's a heck of a statement, Pierre, because because there's a certain, you know, I talked yesterday at the end. He reminds me just in terms, some people are fueled by anger. They're, for whatever reason, they seem to be more effective when there's a screw loose.
Go ahead.
No, that's Marchand seems to be that. You know, he'll go a long stretch and then he's going to snap. That's just who he is.
Have you ever heard of PPW?
PPW.
Yeah.
I'm about to.
Prove people wrong.
Ah.
He has fueled his entire career on PPW. Because everybody told him he's too small. Everybody told him he's too slow. Everybody told him he couldn't do this and he couldn't do that. And every single day that he lives in the NHL, and every single day that he lived in Major Junior, and every single day he played on the 07 Super Series team, and on the World Junior team, every single day he's had to prove people wrong. And now is his opportunity to PPW all the people that think he'll be another suspension guy, and he'll take another one. And I think he's going to be strong enough to prove people wrong.
I hope you're right, and I think maybe if it was 8 to 10, I'd believe more in what you say. But in a long, really hard, tough 82-game regular season, I don't think it's I know the money is there, but he's got enough money. Hopefully he hasn't burned it away. You know, that's why I would like to see higher suspensions, especially for repeat offenders.
Fair point by you. We'll see. Rod, save the tape. But I think that this guy will PPW this. I really do.
Rod saves everything, as Gord Miller discovered. And this one wasn't even from that long ago. Gord is with us every Wednesday at 6:05, right? And I don't know. We were in the middle of we were actually waiting for the Hall of Fame announcement yesterday, Pierre. And so we were just kibitzing a little bit. And then Rod decided to go here with something that Gore told us at the beginning of the season. What happened? Didn't you? You just had it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's just freezing up at the worst time.
All right. Gallo, you wanted to jump in. We'll find that in a second.
Oh, no, just the whole the PPW comment that Pierre was making. I just, everything he was describing, I couldn't help but think about Brendan Gallagher and how many similarities there are between Marchand and Brendan Gallagher, and how Gallagher is able to get under your skin and instigate.
Gallagher's
but Gallagher never, ever, ever, ever crosses that line. He's like the perfect player in that regard, as instigator who never does anything dirty.
Totally agree. I think that's an excellent point. Totally, totally, totally agree.
Zach Smith today.
You know, it's unfortunate. There just seems to be those few guys in the league that don't have a lot of respect for the other guy's safeties out there, and luckily we have rules in place to enforce that.
He's entitled to his opinion. That's fine. Don't disrespect him for that at all. Things happen fast out there. Yeah, maybe early on I was trying to make a name for myself, and the game was played a little different when I came in, and could have changed a little quicker than maybe I did. But again, I respect every player out there as much as the guys on my team.
Well, further to what you said, Pierre, you can't be any more contrite than he was today.
He was definitely mentored by, I would say, Patrice Bergeron, Donnie Sweeney, Cam Neely, Bruce Cassidy. He's heard it from everybody. That really matters to him. Those are the people that really matter to him. And I know this man probably as well or better than anybody listening to the show. And I would tell you that I think that he will realize probably for the first time that the league's not messing around. Some guys don't appreciate him as much as they should. And I think he's going to try to prove to people that he's not that type of a player. I really believe that. We'll see. We'll just see how it plays out.
Darren Dreger this morning.
You know, this might, I consider Brad Marchand, and I've talked about this before, to be a superstar in the National Hockey League. I do. But this is the kind of stuff that dogs him and nags him. And, you know, he's a good player when he's incorporating that pest-like quality that he has. But, you know, this isn't being a pest.
All right. Yeah, it's being worse than a pest. So once
I'm hiring Darren as a scout. He identified Marchand as a superstar.
Craig Button is the scout.
I'm being facetious.
Oh, and I'm waiting. I'm still in waiting mode here. Is this worth the wait? This is Gord Miller before the season.
He's an elite player.
Elite?
The issue for him has been hell.
Elite?
Yeah. He's an elite player. He's an elite goal scorer. Yeah.
Alex Hemsky.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, no, we're not making fun of the player, Pierre. We're making fun of Gord's assessment that at this stage of his career, he's an elite player before the season started.
He wasn't Gatineau.
Yeah, where Claude Julien. Sure. Claude Julien coached him there, right?
Yeah, he wasn't Gatineau for Claude, and he definitely was early on in Edmonton, but I don't believe, you'd have to look it up. I'm just going off of memory. I don't believe he ever had a 25-goal season in the league.
Good hands. He set guys up. He was he's kind of like Radulov in that regard. He was a playmaker. He's a really good playmaker. He's good with the puck.
He was.
Yeah,
he's
good with the puck. And then injuries just took its toll. That's all.
Well, one of the most devastating things, he almost died in a bar fight after he was named the MVP of the Czech Extra League. He got stabbed in the neck with a broken beer bottle. Check out the scar on his neck the next time you're in the Canadiens dressing room. It's pretty ugly.
Gallo, you ask him about that, okay? Next time you see him, next time you're down there?
Sure, I'll ask him. I haven't seen him yet.
Well, he is skating, so yeah. Rod, what about today? You want to bring it up today?
I don't know if we'll get to see Alex Hemsky anytime soon, but Pierre, when a team gets to the realization that the playoffs are most likely not going to happen, they're not going to admit it necessarily, but can players become, I don't mean this in a bad way, can they become a little bit more selfish? Can they start setting maybe some numerical goals for themselves so they have something else to focus on when the standings don't look so pretty?
Yeah, and they're also doing it for contract reasons, absolutely. And that's one of the big things you have to fight through as a coaching staff, and that's where you have to really hope that your veteran leaders make sure the young players understand you're all in it together. It's all of us or none of us. That's where the leadership comes in. The coaching message can't be skewed. It's got to be more positive than negative. But this is where you really have to hope that you have standards that you've built up over time in the organization with the leaders that make sure players aren't focusing on that more than they are about the well-being of the team.
It's that time of year before we finish up with the Habs and Hurricanes. It's Bob McKenzie's annual poll of NHL coaches. You ready?
Yes.
Best player. 14 said Kucherov, 14 said MacKinnon, 2 said Patrice Bergeron, 1 said Connor McDavid.
I would probably say right now MacKinnon.
Best goalie. Runaway. Andrei Vasilevsky, 26.
Yeah,
Sergei Bobrovsky and Connor Hellebuck, 2. Somebody said Carey Price.
I just spoke to the University of Massachusetts Amherst hockey team before they practiced.
I love that area.
It's awesome. But I was asked by one of the goalies on the team to rate the top goalies in the league, and I said, I'm only going to tell you 2. I said, Vasilevsky's the best and Bobrovsky's the second best.
Best defenseman. 17 say Hedman, 12 Doughty, 1 Brent Burns, and 1 John Klingberg, who's having a tremendous year in Dallas.
Without Hedman's injury, I think he probably would have won the Norris. But I'd say now, because he's hurt, Doughty's probably going to garner a bunch of votes. So
yeah.
I would say that's a pretty accurate list.
Drew Doughty set up both Kings goals in their win over Calgary last night. Best rookie. Matthew Barzell, 24. Brock Besser, 4. Charlie McAvoy, 3.
Yeah, that's a fair list, too. Obviously, you're looking at the numbers on the two forwards, and the numbers are exceptional. Besser's been unbelievable, obviously, on a not very good team. McAvoy's been awesome. You could ask Zdeno Chara that. I think that list is really good.
Eastern Conference champ. 22 say Tampa, 8 say Boston, 1 says Pittsburgh. Somebody still believes in Pittsburgh.
They have Pittsburgh not winning the East unless they make a trade, but those other two teams are very apropos.
Western Conference, 16 say Nashville, 7 say Vegas, 6 Winnipeg, 2 Dallas.
How many said Winnipeg?
6.
You know what? I think they're like Ottawa. I think they're the dark horse of the West. Like Ottawa was last year. I still like Nashville when they have all their bodies, especially with their home ice advantage.
Stanley Cup champ, of the coaches polled by Bob McKenzie in his annual yearly poll of NHL coaches. 19 say Tampa, followed by Nashville with 5, Boston 4, 1 for Pittsburgh, 1 for Winnipeg, and 1 for Vegas.
I picked Tampa at the start of the year, so I'm staying with Tampa.
Final one, Pierre. Best coach, 30 votes for Gerard Gallant. Nobody else.
He didn't vote for himself? He should have. He'll win hands down.
Yeah. I mean, have we ever seen what figures to be the broadcasters vote on the Jack Adams Award?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's kind of like the two other finalists, no disrespect, but it's almost like nobody knows who they are. And nobody cares.
Well, John Cooper's probably going to be one in Tampa. I think he's done a terrific job with his team. I really do. Laviolette's done an excellent job with Nashville, especially after the run that they had last year. So I think that he deserves some marks. And Hakstol's done a fantastic job with Philadelphia.
Isn't it interesting?
Along with Cassidy in Boston.
Isn't it interesting, Pierre, that two younger, you know, by some standards, younger coaches, Hakstol in Philly, you had Ron Hextall forcefully defend him when the Vultures were circling. And Gallantson in Calgary, he threw a stick. He was demonstrative. He did something kind of like what Mike Yeo did a couple of years ago in Minnesota. That works, right? Okay, you have a couple of bullets to play all year, right?
Absolutely, it works. But you better make sure you get a response. If you don't get a response and you can't go to it the second time, because it's not going to work. So that's a big deal.
Why do the Rangers want Cody McLeod?
Probably because they're going to have to get a little bit more aggressive. They got a heavy division schedule coming up. They don't have Kreider, who's a physical guy. They've got injury situations they're dealing with. I think they probably want to bring some enthusiasm into their lineup, too. McLeod did a good job with Nashville last year.
All right, and in conclusion, they claim them on waivers today. Do we know anything more? Did Claude Julien speak while we're talking to Pierre? Do we know anything about the lineup?
Yeah, no lineup changes.
Okay,
yeah.
So what would you look for? Do you think the Canadiens can carry the momentum offensively, led by Jonathan Drouin and Galchenyuk, into tonight's game against Carolina?
I mean, they should. They should feel really good about themselves, but this is going to be like a playoff game, I think, for both teams, especially Carolina. I mean, they've got to. If you're Carolina and you think you're a legitimate candidate to be in the playoffs, anybody that's below you in the standings, which the Canadiens are, you got to knock them off. You can't lose to them. So I'd expect an A effort from Carolina. And if Montreal's smart, they'll build off the enthusiasm they created from the other night against Colorado.
Enjoy the games. There's a lot of them tonight. You're going to be able to watch some of them?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch all of them. You know, it's interesting. I was speaking at this thing at UMass Amherst. Cale Makar is one of the players that was there fourth overall with Colorado. You should see him at practice. He's phenomenal. And the other guy that really stood out, Mario Ferrara. That kid is a second-round pick of San Jose. He's going to be outstanding. He's from King City, Ontario, the same hometown as Alex Pietrangelo. I was really impressed with both those guys today. Really, really impressed.
Rod, save the tape. Thanks, Pierre.
Thank you. Bye.